Domingo Santana.
Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast on what I can only assume is a Kokomo Friday. And if it's not, do not blame me, Chris Towers. Blame Adam Azer, who's editing this show but not hosting. I'm here with Scott White. Scott, are you hoping it's a Kokomo Friday?
You just blew our cover because I think there have been many occasions at the start of the podcast where we have pretended like we're hearing the music that's playing. And we don't actually.
No,
it's all
no,
it's no, all no. an
it's,
act.
It's put in after. So, yeah, to peel back the curtain a little bit, the intro and the outro, we don't hear.
Yeah.
We don't know what it's going to be on any given day. But the drops we do hear. I do want to stress that.
Yeah, the drops. Yeah, the
so
drops.
We're not faking that. When Regulators comes on, it's not like we're sitting here just silent, pretending we're listening to music. No, it's actually playing for
sure.
us.
Sure. Yeah, that's true. When Heath sighs. We hear that.
Was that a good intro?
It was fine.
We're going to be talking about fantasy baseball today on Fantasy Baseball Today. We've got Thursday standouts. We're going to preview week 20. We've got a segment called Yikes, Danny Salazar. We've got some post-trade lineup and roster notes. We've got your emails, suspensions, signs of life. So much to get to on today's episode. But first, we'll start with Thursday's standouts, and I've got an obvious one. Will Smith.
Getting jiggy with it.
See him courtside with the Lakers.
Yeah.
Sitting 50-yard line at the Raiders. 2-for-4 with a grand slam last night. It was definitely a juiced ball special kind of grand slam. It looked like it should have, like, been a flare out to left, between left field and the second baseman, and then it ended up carrying about 395 feet. He is 8-for-17 with 3 home runs since being recalled. He has started, I believe, 5 of 6 games for the Los Angeles Dodgers since being recalled. Scott, where is Will Smith in your catcher rankings right now? Are you moving him?
I know I moved him considerably on Tuesday.
I meant, are you moving him literally right now?
I'm not moving him literally right now. I am pulling up my rankings. Oh, football's... The football drop-down's taking the place of the baseball drop-down, and so I went into the football rankings that time of year. He's ninth. He's ninth, just behind fellow risers Travis d'Arnaud and Mitch Garver.
Okay, so that's...
I moved him ahead of James McCann. I moved him ahead of Wilson Ramos.
Yeah, we got a couple of questions, I think, on Twitter and maybe one on email. Should you drop Wilson Ramos for Will Smith? I would at this point. Wilson Ramos just seems like he's having kind of a broken season. I was going to say something,
well,
and then I totally forgot. Oh, no, that brings up a good point. You have him behind Travis d'Arnaud, one spot, right?
Yeah.
Travis d'Arnaud has been playing a lot of first base and even some DH for the Rays when Mike Zunino is in the lineup. Does the acquisition of Jesus Aguilar change that at all, do you think?
Boy, I don't know what to make of Jesus Aguilar.
He started yesterday.
Yeah, against a right-hander, against Andrew Cashner, and had a great game. And
they sent down Nathaniel Lowe.
They sent down, right, which was also surprising because it seemed like a ready-made platoon partner at first base. Maybe they just make Travis d'Arnaud the regular catcher, and that's how they proceed. But Aguilar was in the lineup against a righty. Lowe is gone. d'Arnaud wasn't in the lineup, I don't think. Yeah, because Choi played DH. Or actually, Aguilar played DH.
Yeah.
Choi played first. That's that whole situation is really confusing. I'm surprised they haven't sitting down Brasso yet, Mike Brasso. Eric Sogard, I think, got his first start since joining the team yesterday and also had a good game.
It's a mess.
There are so many pieces there.
Yeah, I believe... Heading into Wednesday's game, when I was looking up for the Jesus Aguilar trade, the 4 games prior to that, they had played 3 different players in 4 games at first base, and three different players in four games at DH. And that's with Brandon Lau still on the IL. So
yeah,
it's just, it seems like it could be tough. And that's the reason why I think I might put Will Smith ahead of Darnell.
I mean, that's fair. I just think it's still too early to say, because the reason I had him ahead was he looked like he had a playing time advantage over most catchers. He's playing virtually every day.
Mm-hmm.
More than half of the time at first base. I mean, Zunino's had a terrible season. I'm not sure how he rates defensively, to be perfectly honest.
I think he always rates out pretty well.
Yeah. I would imagine Darnell makes, you know, if he is less a part of the first base equation, which I also think it's too early to say, then he probably starts at least two-thirds of the time at catcher. And it's becoming increasingly clear that Will Smith really is the guy.
Yes.
For the Dodgers, Russell Martin is just a backup. So yeah, I mean it's a tenuous lead Darno has over Smith right now, and I could probably be talked into switching that. I just want to see a little more, because I hate switching it one day and then switching back the next. You know.
All right, we're gonna talk a little bit more a little later about Thursday's action, but I do want to get to our email of the day. And it's from Simon. And here it is. Dear Villanelle and Eve, do you know who those are?
No.
Watch the television program Killing Eve.
Okay.
It's extremely good. Highly recommend it. Simon writes in. Oh, what?
I'm not going to watch it until it's almost over, because that's how I do these things.
I think they're bringing it back for a third season. It's very good. I highly recommend it.
Okay. All right.
Simon writes in, here are a few slow starters who seem to have really turned their season around a bit under the radar. A couple of them, one of them had a big game last night. Another couple of them have just been really good lately. Jack Flaherty, since the two bad starts at the end of June, he has a 1.16 ERA, a .77 whip, and a K per nine of 11.3. He was outstanding last night. Seven shutout innings, nine strikeouts. What do you make of Jack Flaherty at this point?
I think he is possibly taking an ace turn here. A lot of people had hopes that he would emerge as this from the start of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I think Heath was even drafting him over Walker Buehler, and he may not have been alone there. But, yeah, that's very encouraging. He's looking like a must-start, and... hopefully you stuck with him during some of his struggles.
Yeah, hopefully you even bought low if you didn't have him at the All-Star break. This was, not to toot my own horn too much, but he was one of my breakout picks for the second half. And it was mostly just betting on the talent, betting on how talented he is, what he showed last season, that he would be better than he was in the first half. And it's working out so far. Another guy who we haven't really talked too much about, and it's been kind of a startling season, is Matt Olson. Since coming back from the hammock bone injury on May 8th, he has 22 home runs and an OPS north of 900. That's a 162-game pace of 49 home runs, 89 runs, 104 RBI. Where does Matt Olson sit in your first base ranking?
Pretty high. He's having a nice bounce-back season, and surprisingly, given the injury he was dealing with, you know, we saw with both Justin Turner and Yuli Gurriel last year, they came back from the same injury and their power just wasn't there for several weeks. But Olson came back homering right away. And I have him 17th looking at my head-to-head points rankings. He is between Jose Abreu and Trey Mancini.
Seems low.
Well, I mean,
I guess head-to-head points isn't his best format, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I have Yuli Gurriel ahead of him in this format. I probably have Gurriel behind him in Roto, and then you get to, like, Goldschmidt, Encarnacion. You know, it's a deep position, obviously.
Yeah. Of the top 10 home run hitters since May 8th, Olson actually has the lowest home run to fly ball rate, which isn't terribly surprising because he does play in a really tough park, so that's something to keep in mind. But he's having a really nice season. Someone who, in Roto at least, could be a top 12 first baseman moving forward. Josh Donaldson also turned his season around right on June 1st. He's got 18 home runs, third in the majors, 44 RBI, 6 in the majors, highest average exit velocity of his career, only a 249 batting average, but with a 240 BABIP. What do you make of Josh Donaldson at this point? This is two healthy seasons in a row where it's taken him a little while, but then he's played kind of like that MVP version for a run.
So two healthy seasons in a row. You're talking 2017.
He missed
2018.
Yeah. Yeah. But when he was healthy in 2017.
Yeah, no, he was. And I don't think he's quite that good, but I do think he's, you know, he's another guy who you're happy you stuck with. And, you know, he's must start, all of that. He only comes in 15th in my third base rankings, and this is the problem we find around the infield. He's 15th, but he's ahead of Eugenio Suarez. He's ahead of Vladimir Guerrero, who I very much like and who's looks like he's picking it up quite a bit with two home runs yesterday. And, you know, but that's just the way third base has gone this year, where it's very likely if you are starting Donaldson, you're starting him in your utility spot.
All right, let's talk about Danny Salazar, a new segment, Yikes, Danny Salazar. I know both of us were, I don't know if excited, but interested in Danny Salazar making his comeback from that shoulder injury. Hasn't pitched since 2017, but was always a high strikeout guy. Doesn't look like that's going to work out. He pitched four innings yesterday, left with a groin injury, but even before that, it doesn't sound like he was going to pitch too much longer than that. I think he had like 60 pitches already. Four hits, two runs, three walks, two strikeouts. I believe only three swinging strikes. And his
which actually isn't a horrible line, considering
He averaged 87 miles per hour with his fastball, 87.8, I think, and topped out at 88.3.
So his average fastball velocity was 10 miles an hour lower, basically, since the last time we saw him in the majors.
Yeah.
And that's not going to cut it. Now, there were discouraging reports about his velocity as he was rehabbing.
But those were
low 90s.
Yeah, those low were 90s. Like, oh, he's hitting 92, 93.
And he had a great strikeout rate. You know, it was a short rehab assignment, but still, there was reason to think, okay, maybe, you know, as desperate as you are for pitching help, and we all are, I assume, you know, maybe he'll be able to overcome like a 4-mile-per-hour drop in velocity. The odds were against it, but maybe it's worth a flyer.
But if he's not even hitting nine,
Now it is. You mentioned he left with the groin injury. My understanding is he was pitching through the groin injury, and that probably had something to do with it. But even so, now he has a groin injury. Like I don't really think it's a worthy pursuit anymore.
Yeah, probably not someone we're running out to add. Which two start pitchers are you running out to add? Who's your favorite two start pitcher for week 20?
My favorite of those available,
of those
we use 70% as the standard here, right?
Yeah.
It's probably Griffin Canning, just because I think he's the most talented of that, not because his matchups are good. He is coming off a very good start. It was against Detroit. And he's playing with fire. I mean, that all two-start sleepers are. So he's probably my favorite. Jordan Yamamoto is up there too. His matchups are a little better, and he was, I think it was good yesterday. He gave up four runs, but in six innings with eight strikeouts, actually a season high in swinging strikes. So Yamamoto's up there.
I'll give you two who I like.
Okay.
Lower owned, both below 50% owned. Dylan Cease, coming off his probably what was his best start.
Yep.
In the majors so far, and he gets at Detroit, worst offense in baseball, great place to pitch. And then versus Oakland, that can be a tough matchup, but I think given the start against Detroit, I like him for this week. And then I'm going to throw out Vince Velasquez, and I don't feel super comfortable about it. He's 40% owned, but he's at Arizona, at San Francisco. Those are two, I mean, at San Francisco, great place to pitch. At Arizona, not a bad place to pitch at this point. So Vince Velasquez, 40%. Probably him and Dylan Cease, my two favorites.
Yeah, I mean, I could get behind Dylan Cease a little easier than Velasquez, just because, I mean, Velasquez is five innings and that's it.
Yep.
At least it has been. I mean, that's, as we learned with Zach Gallen, all it takes is one start to change that trend. But if the trend continues, it's you're probably not getting that much value. I mean, hopefully in Categories League, you're getting some ratio help, hopefully. But if that's all you're looking for, then probably go with a reliever instead.
All right, let's talk about some big news. Jameson Taillon will have season-ending flexor tendon surgery. That is not Tommy John, so that's the good news. It does carry a 7 to 9 month recovery period, so that would put him, what, maybe back to pitching in February in time for spring training, but on the longer end could be April or May. So,
yeah,
definitely tough to see. He was a disappointment this season. Got off to a really good start, though, and then it just seemed like he wasn't right. A Tommy John guy in the past, how late would you think? What's the earliest you think you would take Jameson Taillon next season?
Oh, middle rounds, I think. Maybe like the round 15 range, just to pull a number out of the blue. I think I will probably rank him as like a top 50 or 60 starting pitcher.
Yeah, and just for reference, he did have a 4.1 ERA this season. That was with a 3.81 FIP. Good whip, good control. Strikeout rate wasn't there this season. That was the disappointing thing for him. Some of the other big news, Cole Hamels should be back from the IL on Saturday. I believe that starts against the Brewers. Are you starting Cole Hamels this weekend?
Probably not. I'd rather give, especially against that lineup, I'd rather give him a chance to kind of shake off the rust, but I'm excited about him moving forward. He pretty much emerged as a must-start guy. Second tier, obviously, but nonetheless.
Ken Giles expected to return Sunday or Monday. He had that cortisone injection in his elbow. No structural damage, but it does sound like he'll be back soon. That's a good sign. And Yadier Molina will begin a rehab assignment this Friday. He's recovering from a strained thumb, has been out for about a month, maybe a little longer. Is he a top 12 catcher at this point when he comes back?
No, I don't think so. I mean, the position has added so many interesting possibilities lately that Molina's outside of that group for me.
And wasn't having a very good season before. Hitting no. 261 for the second season in a row, but last year that was with a .436 slugging percentage. This year, .368, only 4 home runs and 16 doubles in 71 games.
I mean, it's gotten to the point now, one catcher leagues, you shouldn't be having that much trouble filling the spot with somebody who's at least useful. I mean, obviously, there are still few catchers that are legitimately high end, in part because most of them don't play enough to be, but useful shouldn't be hard to find at this point.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back with injuries, news, and notes, some of the post-trade lineup and roster news, and more right after this.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
All right, we're back, and let's get into some more injuries, news, and notes. Some guys who could be back soon. Jesus Luzardo, through a simulated game, felt good as he comes back from his shoulder injury. Is he still worth stashing? Is he in your prospects to stash column, which came out on CBS Sports Friday morning?
He's not, in part because there are a lot of interesting options entering the discussion there.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly Gavin Lux, who's hitting like 450 with a 1400 OPS since moving up to AAA.
And whose emergence this season is a big part of why the Dodgers didn't make any trades at the deadline.
And it's one of those things, like if he completes his recovery without a setback or a new injury this time, the chances of Luzardo pitching in the majors this year, I think, are pretty high. When in Lux's case, I'd put it at less than 50-50 he plays in the majors. But I mean, the impact potential is so high there. It's the same thing I've been saying with Luis Robert, where if you play in a league of, you know, the size that more than 300, 325 players are being rostered, it's probably worth stashing these guys just in case. Luzardo, though, I mean, this was a simulated game where he threw two innings, not even the start of a rehab assignment. I imagine he needs at least three rehab starts. So the clock is really his enemy right now. And
they don't have an obvious hole in the rotation right now. They did pick up a couple of mediocre starters, but Oakland has a thing for mediocre starters.
So while I think it's pretty good that he pitches in the majors, the chances this year, we're probably talking like a spot starter to late in September and not really anything you're going to want to gamble your fantasy standing on.
We might see him and AJ Puck pitch out of the bullpen. That might be my prediction in September. Marcell Ozuna could be back from the IL soon. He's been on his rehab assignment this week, coming back from, I believe, there's a couple of small fractures in his hand. So hopefully he gets back and it doesn't impact him too much. Hand injuries, always a little troublesome. Alex Dickerson was placed on the IL. He'd been hitting red hot for the Giants. Was he someone who was on your radar at all? He's got an oblique injury, so it could be a little while.
They were only playing him like half the time.
Yeah.
He's their only good hitter, and they didn't seem to care. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with the Giants. They don't have any good players. They're somehow in the race, and they somehow believe they're
back
in the race. Kind of.
I think he's got like an 820 OPS since the All-Star break. He's back, baby.
That's something to get excited about for sure.
All right, Josh Naylor was recalled from AAA. Sounds like he might mix in the outfield, but we think it's going to be Renfroe, Marco, and Will Myers in the outfield more often than
not. We think, though, Naylor was playing more often than Myers when he was up before, not really doing anything with that playing time. But yeah, I'm assuming Myers is going to play close to every day again, and Renfroe certainly.
All right, and Josh Harrison's beginning a rehab assignment from that torn hamstring that he suffered early in the season. Let's look at some post-trade roster and lineup notes. Yasiel Puig was in the starting lineup on Thursday, but at some point, he will not be in the starting lineup for the Indians for at least three games because he was suspended. Like nine players were suspended in that fight. Six, actually. Nobody really fantasy relevant, though, so it's okay, except for him.
Yeah, it was weird. We didn't talk about this. Well, I don't know. I guess I wasn't on the podcast, but how everybody knew he was traded, and yet he was still in the game, and then the fight happened.
That's loyalty. You know, that's sticking up for your guys.
Well, he didn't know he was traded. Like, everybody,
Jesse Winker knew,
and the outside world. That's right. Yeah, a fan told Jesse Winker mid game. There was a video on social media, him informing him that Puig was traded, Bauer was acquired. It was a three-team deal.
Yep.
You know, Winker had to rush to his position before he could totally make sense of it all. But it was a fun video.
All right, here's some other roster moves. Nate Lowe, like we mentioned, sent to AAA for Jesus Aguilar. Framil Reyes did start for the Indians as well. And the expectation should be that he starts pretty much every day, right? Because Jake Bowers and Greg Allen were sent to AAA. Those were two of the outfield options for the Indians.
Yeah.
Should be Mercado, Puig, and Reyes in the outfield more often than not.
Oh, yeah. That's a really strong outfield all of a sudden. The Indians went from being a joke out there to, I mean, that's a great outfield. That they have a good lineup now, you know, with Jose Ramirez back to form, and
not a team that you target like we were early in the season.
It's interesting. Like, and obviously there were some financial considerations.
Punted on their offseason and just bet that the rest of the AL was so mediocre that they could be in the race in July.
Well, I mean, they reconfigured their team in a way that may be, I mean, Bauer was the better player and they gave him up, but now they have they went from having a bad lineup to a good one.
Yeah.
They still have Clevinger, and they're going to have Kluber. They have Bieber. I mean,
maybe Carrasco.
And, yeah, hopefully Carrasco. Even if they don't have Carrasco, I mean, that top three could certainly take them deep into the playoffs. Like, they're World Series contenders. And in a way, it seems like they're even more now than they were before this trade.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. It's a little annoying. Nicholas Castellanos batted second for the Cubs. That's an interesting one. We do expect him to play every day, but if he's batting second for the Cubs, that could be a really nice upgrade for a guy who was probably being held back at least a little bit by both the park and lineup that he played in Detroit. Does he get an upgrade for you?
Yeah, he gets an upgrade. He is going to, obviously, a much better lineup, and that's going to help at least the RBI and the run production, especially if he keeps batting second, even more so. The power, the home run production was lower too, but not in a way where the indicators really suggested that he couldn't recover from that. And you look at the Tigers lineup now, my goodness. They have an 8-game week this upcoming week against, I believe it's Royals and White Sox pitchers. So what should be
is there anyone
an
you want
awesome
to start?
Matchup, and there's nobody. There's nobody I can recommend starting in that lineup. They're calling up Travis Demeritt.
Yes.
I believe that's how you pronounce it, who they acquired from the Braves in the Shane Green deal. He had 20 homers at AAA this year. He's always been a good power hitter in the minors, but a lot of strikeouts, and I'm not sure how much he's going to play. But that's the closest I'd come to recommending somebody.
Yeah, I would hope he just plays every day.
I mean, the
track record overall is pretty mediocre, but mm-hmm. you know, with the juice ball this year, he's hitting for more power. MLB does obviously have that same juice ball, so maybe there's a chance that he can become fantasy relevant for the Tigers, but not necessarily someone you need to run out and grab. The Braves did confirm that Shane Green will close for them. Personally, I wouldn't be too surprised if Mark Melancon ends up closing at some point, just because I'm not a big believer in Shane Green. I think there's a chance he falls apart. His FIP suggests that he's probably been the luckiest pitcher in baseball.
Yeah, but I don't think that means he's not good. Like, he's still, let's say he's 3.25 ERA the rest of the way. He's still probably the Braves' best reliever.
Yeah, like, I'm not sure, but there's a chance he's like a 4.5 ERA guy moving forward.
If he has bad luck, sure.
But that's what he's been for his career too.
Yeah, but I mean, he's improved his arsenal this year. I can't remember specifically what it is, but one of his secondary pitches is much more effective than it used to be.
AJ Minter was optioned to AAA. Just an absolutely disastrous season for him. When it seemed like there was going to be an opportunity for him to possibly take that closer's job early and really establish himself as a high-end reliever. Anything else? Austin Meadows was in right field for the Rays, so he may play in the outfield a little more often. And the one other thing, Corey Dickerson was not in the lineup for the Phillies. It'll be interesting to see what they do with Adam Haseley, who's hit pretty well for them, but Corey Dickerson, a much better hitter, kind of disastrous in the outfield. I wonder who's going to get more playing time between him and Jay Bruce when Jay Bruce is healthy, too.
Yeah, Do we have a timeline for Bruce? I mean, Bruce was...
It sounds like he could be back within the next couple of weeks.
I don't... At the very least, I don't expect Dickerson to play much against righties, because when he's in the lineup, either Kingery or Michael Franco is out.
Michael Franco should probably just be out of the lineup.
Well, I mean...
Kingery should be there.
Dickerson's pretty well established as a platoon player now, so I don't imagine Gabe Kapler's going to buck that trend.
Either way. Just get Michael Franco out of the lineup. He's been abysmal since like the second week of the season. Oh my God. We have another segment coming up called Signs of Life? And it reminds me that we forgot to mention maybe the biggest standout on Thursday night, Scott.
Who?
We're fools. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. He's here. He's real. And he's spectacular. 2 home runs last night, multiple hits in 7 of his last 11 games, 5 home runs, I believe 20 RBI in his last 11 games. He's been absolutely outstanding lately. He's looked like the guy we hoped he would be. Are you buying it?
Yeah. I mean, not fully yet, but this is I believe the podcast right after the All-Star break, where of course we saw him put on that show in the Home Run Derby. we were making predictions who would be the biggest gainers in the second half, and he was among mine. I foresaw, you know, kind of the way Ronald Acuna was last year, where his first couple months on the job, he looked solid. I mean, you certainly saw the potential. He wasn't a fantasy stud yet, and then he just took off in August and September, and I could foresee something similar happening for Guerrero, since the talent, I mean, that what he did in the Home Run Derby should have left no doubts in anybody's mind that he could be great. Now it looks like he's hopefully making that next step.
Yeah, 18 games since the All-Star break, 324, 385, 592 triple slash, 5 home runs, 22 RBI, only 11 strikeouts and 78 plate appearances as well. So that's a good sign. That is the guy we were hoping to get. Some other guys who are showing some signs of life lately. JT Realmuto, 3 runs, 1 home run, 3 RBI yesterday, and a 3-for-5 day. He's got 9 hits, 3 home runs, 9 RBI over his last 5 games. Where is he in your catcher ranks?
He's 3rd, I believe, behind Sanchez, who will hopefully be back soon, and Grandal. Actually, I have him behind Wilson Contreras, too, so he's 4th. But I think you can make the case for him as high as 2nd. He's a guy who all season long has been underperforming his ex-WOBA. And
he's still 3rd in points among catchers.
There you go. Does get a lot of playing time. I think points per game is probably lower, but yeah.
And Dylan Cease, 7 innings, 7 hits, 3 runs, but 2 walks, 6 strikeouts, 27 strikeouts in 28 innings, 14 walks. Is Dylan Cease a can-own or is he a must-own?
He is a can-own. This was really his first good start. 12 walks and 21 innings the previous 4, and for a guy who is known to have control issues. That was the big question mark coming in. And, you know, it was a good start, but he still had less than a strikeout per inning, only 11 swinging strikes. I think we need to see a lot more than from Cease. Though, as you pointed out, making 2 starts and 1 against the Tigers next week, that depending on how desperate you are for a 2-start pitcher, it might be worth picking up him up just because of that.
Zach Wheeler has had 2 very good starts since coming back from his shoulder issue. 7 shutout innings yesterday, 4 hits, 7 strikeouts, no walks. He has 14 strikeouts, 0 walks in his last 2 games started, and 5 straight with at least 7 strikeouts. Zach Wheeler, just a must-start pitcher moving forward?
Yeah, I think so. Underperformed, and even if the ERA, it was right around 4 the rest of the way, which I think is plausible. I mean, the number of times he's going 7 innings with a ton of strikeouts, like, you just don't want to miss out on having that in your lineup.
Yeah, one thing I'm going to check and see if he's changed his pitch usage a little bit. And yes, he has. He's throwing his slider. He threw his slider 31% of the time last night, which is much higher than normal. 50% fastballs last night as well. And that's one thing. He's relied on his fastball a lot. When he does have several useful secondaries. And he's relied on the sinker a lot, which hasn't been as good this season. So that's something I'd be keeping an eye on. But yeah, I agree. He's someone you want in your lineup. What about Max Fried? First start with 6 innings since June 25th last night. He did technically pitch a complete game, I believe. 6 innings, 4 hits. No,
I mean,
runs,
he
no
might
walks,
have
4 strikeouts.
If there wasn't a rainout, because he had only thrown, I think, like 75 pitches in those 6 innings. So it was, I mean, it was a great start after not, you know, a pretty rough stretch for Fried. His previous 4 starts were less than 6 innings. He had had some issues with walks here and there. He's been kind of a frustrating pitcher because I get the feeling, you know, obviously got off to a great start and he was picked up everywhere and everybody was excited about him. And yet I get the feeling he hasn't really performed as well as he should, given that he's an elite ground ball pitcher with about a strikeout per inning. And his xFIP is 3.48 compared to a 4.07 ERA. He had, prior to yesterday's start, a 1.4 whip on the season. And it's like, how can you start a guy with a 1.4 whip? You know, but the BABIP is high, and that's hurt him. Plus, ground ball pitchers tend to have higher whips. But I don't know. I don't know what to make of him. I think I'm probably back on board with rostering him after this start. But I don't know how excited to be about him, because he's trending the wrong direction at a time when the expected stats suggest he actually should be better than he's been to begin with.
All right, we're going to take one more break and then be back to finish up Thursday's recap. Start looking ahead to week 20, plus your emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Right back after this break.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. Nothing beats a weekend away with the family in the great outdoors, whether it's camping, hiking, river rafting, or anything in between. With third-row seating, nobody is left out. The entire family can experience the thrill together. And nobody wants a dead phone. Available dual wireless charging pads make it so nobody gets stuck and we can check our fantasy baseball teams together. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
All right, let's talk about some more pitching from last night. I've got three guys who I want to ask you if they are still worth owning. Let's start with Jordan Yamamoto. Had a up-and-down start, 4 earned runs in 6 innings. He did have 8 strikeouts and no walks, but he's given up 15 earned runs in 14 innings in his last 3 starts. Is Jordan Yamamoto someone you're still owning? You did say he has two start
sleeper. But as is always the case with two-start sleepers, like, you don't have to start a two-start pitcher. You know, like, if you have good pitching, it's very likely that you're never scouring the waiver wire for a two-start sleeper. You're just going with whoever you have who's making two starts. And if not, one start, guys. That's perfectly fine. Yamamoto, I think, is a little scary. He's a little scary because he doesn't miss a lot of bats, and there's a case to be made that his arsenal is so broad and he has so many different pitches he can feature that he's just manipulative in a way that might make him better than traditional metrics would suggest. But the way he was trending prior to this start doesn't give me a lot of confidence.
All right. What about Andrew Cashner? And I think this is an easy answer, right? Still worth owning? He's still like 60% owned, I believe.
No. It's an easy answer that he's not worth owning, you're saying, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's not good.
7.33 ERA since getting to Boston. That was their big trade deadline acquisition.
Yeah.
Way to go. And Brad Peacock will begin a rehab assignment this weekend. Is he still worth owning, or is he going to the bullpen?
Well, Urquidy got sent down, so it's not clear who the fifth starter is from this point forward. The top four, there's nobody's moving any of them. Now, adding Greinke to the mix. But the fifth guy, I Peacock probably is the leading candidate for that again. They have Rogelio Armenteros, who pitched well when he got a chance to start earlier. But I would think that their sending down of Urquidy suggests they're leaning toward going back to Peacock for that spot.
All right, here's a stud who was a stud, but in a kind of surprising way last night. Clayton Kershaw just does what he does. 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 6 hits, but 5 walks, 5 strikeouts. Nothing to be concerned about with the walks, right?
Nope.
He does have 31 strikeouts in 24 innings since the All-Star break. That's a very good sign for someone who we've kind of resigned ourselves to being a strikeout per inning or less guy. It would be really interesting if he could be a little more than that. But must-start pitcher, is he top 12 for you now?
Yes, he's top 12. And it's going to be interesting next year.
If he gets through the rest of the season without any issues.
That's the thing, because obviously he missed the start of the season with an injury.
Mm-hmm.
But the back flare-up that we had come to bake into things with him, it hasn't come up this year. And is it because he missed time at the beginning and so he hasn't worn down yet? I don't think so, because you know he was tended to go on the DL at midseason at some point, or IL at midseason because of the back. Like,
yeah, I mean, he was awesome from like July on last year.
Yeah.
I think he was like 4th in baseball in innings pitched after the All-Star break or something.
So I was of the belief, not just that there was skills erosion, which was evident, and you know, I think it's still the case, but
yeah,
good enough clearly with the skills he has left. And if you're not, if we're to a point now where we shouldn't just assume that the back is going to prevent him from handling,
it's been over
an
a
ace
year
workload
since, yeah, the back's been an issue.
Sure.
It wasn't the issue in the spring, it was a shoulder issue.
Right. Yeah.
So
I mean, he's not that old.
Yeah.
Early
30s. 30, 31.
Yeah.
So no, Clayton Kershaw, officially still good. Are there a couple of closer crises? One in Minneapolis, one in Milwaukee. Closer crises in the Midwest. Sam Dyson actually came in a safe situation last night. Up 4-1, did not retire a batter, allowed 4 straight guys to reach base, 2 hits, 2 walks. Technically, Taylor Rogers blew the save, but it was all on inherited runners. Sam Dyson was charged with 3 of those 4.
The cheap blown save, I hate that.
Does Sam Dyson, though, coming in a safe situation, make you think that there are changes afoot in Minneapolis?
Yeah, I was already concerned about that because the Twins acquire both Dyson and Sergio Romo,
two
right-handers with closing experience, Rogers being the one left-hander that they have for high-leverage situations. I mean, they seem reluctant to put him in the closer role in the first place. So while I don't think Dyson or Romo is going to become the closer, I think there's a pretty good chance it's back to being a committee. And in the case of Hader, did you bring up Hader yet?
Yes, that was the next one. He gave up a home run to Matt Chapman. He has a 5.11 ERA in July. I think he's given up like 5 home runs in the month of July.
I'm less concerned about performance for him than usage, because this was the fourth time. I mean, this was the 8th inning where he gave this up, right? Mm-hmm. This was the 4th time in July that he's functioned in more of a setup role than as the closer, like brought in before the 9th inning with no intention of pitching the 9th inning, got a hold. I don't know. I guess he didn't get a hold yesterday, but he has a few holds in July. I thought we were past this with him. They had been using him like a traditional closer pretty much April through June.
Yeah. He only has 2 saves since July 22nd.
Now, and there hasn't really been a clear, okay, this guy's going to pitch the 9th inning instead. So, I mean, Jeremy Jeffers, I know, has gotten a save.
I believe Freddie Peralta has at least one
as well. So it's not like there's some other Brewers reliever I think you should pick up, but Hader was, as a closer, he was top 3 probably in fantasy. That's how you should regard him. If he's only going to get like half of the save chances going forward, he might drop outside the top 10.
That's what I was going to ask. Over under 50% of the saves, 50.1% of the saves for Josh Hader rest of season in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I'll take the over, but it's looking like less than what would a typical closer get, 90%, you know?
Yeah, you'd guess 80 plus.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some not studs being not studs, but not bads either. This is my Adam Azer impersonation. Michael Pineda, 6 innings, 7 hits, 1 earned run, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts. The 3 strikeouts, obviously, the surprising part of that. He has allowed 3 earned run or fewer in 6 straight, 2.23 ERA, and a strikeout just under, like a fraction under of a strikeout per inning in that stretch. Where are you at on Michael Pineda?
Yeah, I'm not sure. He needs to be owned, and he's up over 80% ownership right now, so that's fine. But I was initially excited because he was throwing harder. He was getting more swinging strikes. The secondary pitches seemed to be playing up with the increased velocity. And then for a few starts now, the velocity's kind of normalized again. And yesterday, he had only 5 swinging strikes, which is a bad number. 3 strikeouts in 6 innings, not good either. I'm not confident he can sustain the pace he's been on lately, because the changes that seem to be fueling it are have kind of normalized again. So I'm a little concerned.
All right, and one last question about yesterday. Does Jake Arrieta need to be owned at all? He's 80% owned still, which seems wild to me. He hasn't thrown 6 innings in his start since June 30th. He's been dealing with bone spurs in his elbow. Yesterday he said it was really rough pitching with the elbow. Only gave up 1 run in 4 innings, 5 strikeouts, but 4.44 ERA, high whip. Pineda or Arrieta?
Pineda, definitely. Arrieta I have no hope for.
Cease or Arrieta?
Cease.
Freed or Arrieta?
Freed.
There's Yamamoto.
Even Yamamoto, there's nothing.
Jesus Luzardo.
It just depends on whether you need starts or you need upside. But there is nothing redeeming in Arrieta's line. There's nothing he does well, including even eating innings, like you're saying. So there's nothing. There's no reason to hold on to Arrieta. I'm amazed that his ownership is that high.
All right, let's go through the 2-star pitchers who are owned in fewer than 80% of leagues. Not going to go through all of them, but I want you to just tell me starters. We're going to go real quick. Rick Porcello, Kansas City, Los Angeles Angels.
Oh, gosh.
He's been awful.
Yeah, he's been awful. Probably a sit even with the KC matchup in there.
Jordan Yamamoto at New York versus Atlanta.
I think he's one of the best sleepers, but I would prefer not to have to start him.
Zach Plesac versus Texas at Minnesota.
No.
Andrew Cashner, easy no. Doesn't matter who he's playing, although it is Kansas City and the Angels. Jeff Samardzija versus the Nationals versus Philadelphia.
It's kind of interesting.
2 home starts.
Yeah. I could put him under the sleeper label, but like with Yamamoto, I'd rather not have to do that.
Anibal Sanchez at San Francisco at the Mets.
Couple of big parks. I don't really believe in the success Sanchez has had lately, but I think it's fair to consider him a sleeper.
Griffin Canning at Cincinnati at Boston.
Yeah,
that's
I already
yes.
called him a sleeper. I mean, I wouldn't quite say yes, but he is probably my favorite 2-start sleeper.
We're just going to skip over Danny Salazar. Denelson Lamet at Seattle, home versus Colorado. 2-start weeks, the only time you're going to get more than 5 innings out of him.
Well, yeah, but not going to get a win, probably.
Chris Bassitt, who has been a lot better lately, at the Cubs, at the White Sox.
He has been better. It would have to be a deep league.
Dylan Cease, Vince Velasquez, we've already identified as them as maybe sleepers. Yeah. Jordan Lyles at Pittsburgh versus Texas. Revenge game?
No.
Sandy Alcantara at the Mets versus Atlanta?
No, thank you.
Anybody owned in 21% of leagues or fewer who you'd even consider in a 15-team league?
Doesn't look like that. No, it's there. It's one of those weeks where you can find 2-start sleepers. There are a number of them out there, but there's nobody to really endorse with gusto.
No gusto for these guys. Have you done your sleeper hitters?
I haven't.
Research. Do you have the best matchups?
I don't. I have some good matchups that
okay,
I can
that's
put
fine.
Out there.
No, we can skip it.
Well,
I just leave them wanting something for Scott White's sleeper hitters column on cbssports.com/fantasy/baseball.
I'll mention a few tidbits.
All right, let's get some tidbits.
So, as I mentioned,
love bits of tid.
The Tigers play 8 matchups if you can find one you want to use. they play 8 games. The Marlins also play 8 games, but it's a similar situation. Maybe Garrett Cooper,
Garrett Cooper,
I doubt he actually starts all 8 of those games.
Yeah, Garrett Cooper, maybe Jorge Alfaro. He won't start all 8, but maybe 5.
Right. And they're not great matchups because it's the Mets and Braves rotations they're facing. I do like the Brewers matchups. I do like the Yankees matchups. And there you could find some sleepers in those lineups. Trent Grisham, if he is a regular for the Brewers, he looks like a fine sleeper for this week. It's looking like nothing but righties, so Eric Thames, I'd call a sleeper this week. For the Yankees, Tauchman, I think, is going to stay in the lineup even with Brett Gardner returning because now they've lost Voit and Encarnacion is just going to play first base. So they got DH spot open for another outfielder. So I think Tauchman would be a sleeper for them. Maybe Gardner himself, assuming he does come back this weekend. So those are some tidbits.
All right, let's close out the show and the week with some emails. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com is the email address if you want to get right on the show. Jason in Boston writes in, what do we think of Eloy Jimenez as a keeper going forward in a points league, hitting for power but not providing anything else? Is he still a quote-unquote can't-miss prospect? Can he be a top 30 hitter next year, or is he a few years away?
I think it's totally unfair to assess a player by his rookie season. I don't think really anything a player does as a rookie should damage his long-term appeal. It's hard not to feel underwhelmed with Eloy Jimenez, though. And I think a similar, what it really reminds me of is Jorge Soler, who, if you look at what he was doing in the minors before the Cubs called him up, very similar. He was a better minor league hitter than Chris Bryant was. And then he gets to the majors and the strikeout rate is way up. And, you know, the power is really all he's providing and not enough of it. And eventually, you know, he's obviously become worthwhile with the Royals, but I'm a little concerned about Jimenez, but not wanting to really act on that concern because it could backfire.
The one thing I will say is he does have a 226 ISO, striking out too much, of course, but only a 264 BABIP, and obviously he's not athletic at all, but still probably someone we should expect to have a higher than at least a league average BABIP, I would expect. Based on what he did in the minors, he was consistently, you know, 344 or higher in the minors. So that's one thing I would say is that I don't think the 264 BABIP is particularly real. All right, Justin, I could really use your help here, guys. In a head-to-head 12-person category league, we can keep players for up to 3 years. I have Trout. I have to trade Trout this year. He goes down with the ship for my playoff run. Who will be better for my run this year and, more importantly, the following 2 years? Christian Yelich or Ronald Acuna?
I got to say Yelich. I mean, Acuna might be top 5, but Yelich is contending with Trout for the top overall player at this point and young enough that I don't see him dropping off.
All right, our last one, Zach in Houston. Dear Danny, Rusty, Linus, Basher, Ruben, Frank, Saul, Dell, Virgil, Turk, and Yen.
We've never had that many people on the podcast. This is ridiculous.
Do you know who they are?
No.
Ocean's 11.
Okay.
Daniel Ocean.
I mean, if he named the actors, maybe I could
I think have Linus it. Was Matt Damon's character, probably.
Did he carry around a blanket?
I wasn't sure what this was. I had to look it up.
Okay.
I'll be honest. Or he included in the email. All right. Zach in Houston. I am currently in line to make the playoffs in a head-to-head points league with 4 weeks to go, and he's trying to think ahead on how he can improve his pitching. Several high-level pitchers were recently dropped due to their injuries or setbacks. Those are Brandon Woodruff, Tyler Glasnow, Luis Severino, and Luke Weaver. Based on projected timetable to return, role upon return, and projected impact for fantasy, how would you rank the above in terms of who I need to target most aggressively? Again, Brandon Woodruff, Tyler Glasnow, Luis Severino, and Luke Weaver. Rank them for stash purposes this season.
Woodruff, I think, has the easiest chance of making it back in the role he left. But some of these guys could make it back early September. So yeah, Woodruff number one. Severino, I think, has moved to number two since Glasnow suffered a setback. But Glasnow would be third, and Weaver, who I haven't really seen much of anything in terms of progress from, he's last.
Yeah, Severino could begin mound work soon. He's been on a throwing program for 2 weeks. And yeah, I really haven't seen much on Luke Weaver. It doesn't sound like he's even started throwing yet.
The only one I'm that hopeful for, honestly, is Woodruff. The others, you know, if you have a free IL spot, obviously doesn't hurt to keep him around. There aren't many pitchers of their caliber out there. But Woodruff is the only one I just absolutely would not drop.
All right, that's going to do it for Friday's episode of the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. For Scott White, I'm Chris Towers. Come back soon.